Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This, but we don't show prep, so he had no idea.
I just barely make it in.
You know, I'm sure you can tell, but we don't show prep.
I mean, let's put the cards down on the table here.
The Hurricanes, yeah, you know the name already, it's Mercy, ha ha. It's a 6-ring cane show. Can't forget the name though. Got Jazz, Blue, Vision, DJ, break the game code. Ain't no changing them, ain't no breaking them. We're reporting live from the Hard Rock Stadium. Ball 14 for the orange and green. We see the 6-ring champs. It's more than a dream. This is life on the field. Beyond 100 yards, a hurricane that's never still put a damage to the squad. The 6-ring cane show. The 6-ring cane show. The 6-ring cane show. You know.
What's wrong with us? Seriously.
What's wrong with us? We're Miami Hurricanes fans.
Welcome to the 6-Ring Cane Show, a show dedicated to Miami Hurricane sports, featuring the legendary Larry Bluestein, Jazz Santana, Vish, and Danny Gillette. Let's go, Canes.
Welcome back, everybody. Good evening. It is Victory Monday over here on the 6-Ring Canes.
A lot more of those to come, but yes.
Yes, sir. We definitely got a lot to cover today. Some breaking news on the on positions that some players are moving to. Maybe some of you have not heard the news yet, so we'll talk about that really quick. We'll obviously talk a little bit about FAMU and then look forward to Ball State this weekend as the Canes take on Ball State for the first time in football. Ball State is coming down. Saw that the last time that Ball State actually came to play in Florida was in the Boca Raton Bowl in 2016, and they beat FAU. So That's the last time they came to Florida. So they're coming in again to get their ass kicked next weekend, which is all going to be fun and exciting. But we got a lot more to cover about this team. We definitely have some questions I want to ask you all that I think that maybe we could start asking already. Week two, we've seen a little bit about a little bit from the team. We've seen potentially them play, you know, potentially a good team, right? The Florida Gators, obviously, they didn't show out. They didn't end up being very good. But still, a huge game. We saw how they performed, how they responded there. And then, of course, a game where you could have a letdown, always defending Division II national champions, bringing some good players. You saw what Miami was able to do this weekend, although there's some questions that I really want to get to. But before we get to all of that, I'm excited to announce we've got our first sponsor for the 2024 Hurricanes football season here on the Six Rings Canes. We're going to give a shout out to You Break, We'll Fix. So check this out. Have you ever run over a pothole so hard your steering wheel shakes? Are you constantly losing air in your tires that you need to keep adding air? Chances are there's an issue with your wheels, and You Break, We'll Fix is your solution. You Break, We'll Fix is Miami's premier wheel repair and restoration company. With over 20 years of experience and located right here in North Miami, You Break, We'll Fix offers quick repairs for damaged wheels and, in most cases, can offer a free loaner wheels to keep you on the road while repairing your damaged wheels. If your wheels are looking weathered and it's time to freshen up your car, don't replace, refinish. Their in-house wheel refinishing solutions, such as powder coating, machining, and polishing, will give your car the like new look it deserves. Make sure you contact Mark and his staff at 305-748-0112, or you can reach them on all their social media at You Break Wheel Fix. That's the letter U, Break Wheel, like an actual wheel, Fix, at You Break Wheel Fix. Mention 5 reasons and you'll get 5.5% off your next repair. Again, it's You Break Wheel Fix, powder coating, and wheel repair. 305-748-0112. That's 305-748-0112, located at 1848 Northeast 143rd Street in North Miami, Florida. It's real simple to get there. Obviously, just head east on Northeast 143rd Street, and it's the black building on your left. again, call Mark over there, 305. I mean, listen, I'm reading what they put here. Okay, guys, it's a black building on your left off of Northeast 18th Avenue and Northeast 143rd Street. All right, 305-748-0112. You Break, We'll Fix. All right. I'm happy to get a sponsor back. It's been a while since I do a read, you know. Got to get the kinks out of there. But either way, man, hey, listen. So the Canes ended up beating FAMU 56-9. I think, some people may have thought that FAMU was going to give us a little bit more of a game because, as I mentioned earlier, right, defending Division II national champs. They've got, some pretty good players. I totally forgot that they had Quan Lee there. If anybody remembers Quan Lee, he was a Miami recruit, a Miami commit, ended up decommitting. It was a whole drama with him. Ended up, I think, going to UCF, right, Blue? Yep. To UCF. He might have played there a year. I think he might have gone somewhere else, and now he ends up at FAMU.
He was Rivers and Chance's teammate up at Oak Leaf.
Oh, okay. There you go. So you've got a kid that is a highly touted wide receiver coming out the year that he came out. You also, obviously, everybody knows Daniel Richardson from Booker T down here, the local kid, really good quarterback in high school, and then who played some Division I ball and then transferred over to FAMU this year as well, along with none other than Thad Franklin. We all know who Thad Franklin was, starting tailback for FAMU as well. So you got some players there, some players on the opposite side of the ball. But look, at the end of the day, you noticed Miami was just too much for them. They were just too overpowering, too good of a football team. However, they did end up playing a little sloppy, right? We saw a little sloppiness from them in the second quarter, maybe at the end of the first quarter, going into the second quarter. You saw some sloppiness from them on both sides of the football, whether that's, a loss of focus, whether it's, them just kind of not taking the game too serious. You notice that I'm pretty sure Mario Cristobal had something to say in that locker room in the second half, before the second half started, to get them going again. And then, as everybody saw, Miami came out firing on all cylinders and really kind of took over that game and completely dominated and looked like a solid football team again. So definitely want to get to everybody on how they felt about this game against FAMU. We'll start with you, Vish. You know, as I mentioned, sloppiness a little bit, but they got back on track. Defense played, you know, obviously they played good football. The offense did their thing as well. Anything that kind of stood out to you in this game that you didn't like or maybe that you liked?
Yeah, nothing really that I didn't like other than if we have a situation where Cam Ward can't play for whatever reason, we're in deep trouble. That stood out to me. But other than that, I mean, you're not going to be on your A game every minute of every game. And I do like how the team came out focused and basically put the game away pretty much immediately. So if they're getting a little, you know, losing a little focus in the second quarter, I don't really care. FAMU didn't score a touchdown, so I don't think anything was that bad. No turnovers, played a relatively clean game, not a lot of penalties. They're always going to win comfortably, but I thought just, you know, came out with the right mentality of let's put this thing away immediately. No messing around. We've seen a lot of teams in the country this year messing around and find themselves in tight games that they shouldn't be in Northern Illinois. Just to come in there and if you come out immediately and just put the game away, you know, then that's really the goal when you're the better team. And they did that. I didn't really have any issues with anything.
Blue, what do you think? Why do you think they came out kind of sloppy in that second quarter? Do you think it was that they kind of knew they had this game in the bag, that they were going to be able to just roll right past FAMU, so they tried to do some different things, you know, that kind of ended up to some sloppy play, some, you know, miscommunication? Because look, at the we saw a couple of explosive plays that FAMU had, right? One on a run with FAMU with Thad Franklin. One on that blown coverage by, I think it was Quan Lee who caught that ball too. I'm not 100% sure. But a couple blown plays, miscommunication, loss of focus there in the second quarter. Does that concern you, or do you think that was just them, again, getting lazy against a team that they knew they were going to kind of blow out?
Yeah, it doesn't concern me. I think that's what you probably said. And certainly you take a look at basically a lot of teams when they play a lesser opponent. Sometimes they have a tendency, especially because Miami was sky high last week, you know, the whole game. And then they had to come down a little bit this week, and they'll come down further next week because FAMU would crush Ball State. They had 26 guys. They had 26 kids that played Division I last year. Colorado, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Alabama, they were all over the place. And Miami's just so superior that they never got it into any of the game. And, yeah, I think you lose focus sometimes when, you know, the prize has already been won. And, yeah, Miami's just, they're, like you said, and that's how you're supposed to beat teams. You know, I mean, lesser opponents, you're supposed to do that. None of this 14, 13, 19, 12 games. Not when you have that much talent. And, Miami took care of business. They'll take care of business. Yeah. Like that, if they get focused in every game, I don't care if it's a half or a quarter, they could put up a lot of points, and they got a lot of weapons, and they're getting an opportunity to see a lot of. I think they played 22 freshmen.
Wow, that's a lot. Great. Look, I think that I'm not too worried about it, DJ, but you got to admit that was. You know, that was interesting to see how they responded in the second half because of that sloppiness. You know, Mario got in their face and gave them an earful in that locker room and said, no, this is not the way we're going to play football here. I don't care who we're playing. First of all, we're going to respect our opponent, and then we're going to go out there and we're going to kick their ass. Bottom line, I don't care who it is. It probably went like that, but maybe a little more animated. you know, how do you like the way – again, FAMU, I get it. But as Blue just mentioned, right, you're talking about a ton of D1 guys from big programs. throughout the country played on that team, and Miami just did whatever they wanted with them. How impressed are you by the reaction, the response in that second half from the Canes?
I really, you know, was impressed with the response, because when you go play some of the tougher games, you know, some of the closer conference games, the late season gritty games that can end up, you know, meaning a shot at the ACC title game or whatever, you're going to need to learn how to close. And that's something that the program hasn't done well in recent years. So, you know, that response to just go out and completely dominate. Yes, it was a slow start to the first half. Yes, it wasn't what initially we all wanted to see, but that response and their ability to fight back and put the game away was a valuable lesson for not only, you know, Saturday, but also a good practice for hopefully, you know, bigger games to come.
I mean, I know you were excited from the minute that they started, because the first touchdown was another tight end again.
Oh yeah. Oh right. Yeah. I was waving my tight end pom-poms. I was. I know.
We got that message from Mel in the chat, and I was like, oh boy, Danny must be getting and your boys took it to Deion Sanders this weekend also.
They did.
You know, that's a double win for you. Wait, Boston College tore.
They did, yeah. It was
whoever they played also, right?
And my Patriots, so it was a good weekend for me.
Wow. There you go, man. Yeah. There you go. Boom. Hey, listen, Boston College looks pretty damn good. That kid, Thomas Castellano, Robichaud, that kid Bond, that wide receiver. They got some good players over there.
Yeah, they do.
They're going to get a big test next week against Missouri, though, sixth in the country. Yeah.
That's going to be a tough game. But listen, you know, Boston College, I mean, those teams up there in the Northeast, they play that like that smash mouth style. And now they've got Castellanos, who's just
– he's good,
I honestly think he's special, man. I think he's
– I do too.
You know, he still has to develop a little bit with regards to his passing game, but, you know, it's getting better. I mean, we saw it last year. We saw him with his legs. And those kind of guys always give teams like the Hurricanes fits. But, you know, we were obviously able to neutralize them and get that W. Right. But still, I mean, you saw that they've done – and Bill O'Brien brings in a professional NFL-style, you know, work ethic program, everything there. And I think that he might be the right – I mean, obviously he's a native too, so he might be the right fit for Boston College there to kind of make him competitive, which is nice to see, you know, because I think that more competitive ACC teams really makes that conference – look a lot better than I think a lot of people think. Look, there's some really good teams in this conference that people are not – they're not getting credit, right? Syracuse is a tough program, man. That's – you know, got a great quarterback. You know, Aronde Gadsden's kid is there. They've got some good defensive players. That's – you know, that's a tough team right there. You've got – you know, NC State, although they got – you know, they got their asses handed to them by Tennessee. That's a tough program also. Boston College looks like they're playing all right. Virginia Tech, still a good team.
Georgia Tech, I mean.
Yeah, North Carolina was won twice. They beat a Big Ten team there in Minnesota. And
they're going with a backup quarterback because Max Johnson is out for the year. So,
and then they did find their new running back, the freshman from Chaminade, Davion Gauze.
That's right, and because Omari Hampton got hurt too, and they didn't skip a beat. So, look, a lot of good teams. I think they're underrated over at the ACC, which kind of brings me to my next question that I wanted to bring up with you, Vish, right? I've heard some other shows and some other people talking about this, and I'll get to everybody's thoughts on this, but what is your assessment, Vish? Again, only two games, I know. We're only in week two. What is your assessment of this team so far, right? We're obviously now we're in AP top 10, or we're in the top 10 now, ranked number 10th in the country. I think that it's a good ranking considering our player personnel, our team, how good we are as a team. I think that right now number 10 is solid, right? Some of those teams inside the top 10 are very good programs. Some may not be there this week. You may see some changes there again. But the truth of the matter is, this is a good team, man. You saw the depth. You saw it in both games. But some people are still a little skeptical, and I'll tell you why, Vish, and I want to get your thoughts on this. You know, the hype around Cam Ward and how great he's been playing and how great he he is, and you know, the Heisman and this, that, and the other. And he's gotten off to a good start. Some people are concerned about the time that he's been taking back there to go through his reads. He's really taking his time. He's really, you know, he's not, from what I understand, he's not going through his reads, and then if there's nothing's there, taking off, right? Which is part of his game. He's not really doing that. He's really still looking down the field, trying to make plays with his arm. To me, I don't have a problem with it, right? I understand what people's concerns are, is that, hey, if he waits that long, he's not going to have time to throw against, you know, the Louisvilles of the world or, you know, some of these other better programs. Where do you think this – is this team better than you thought they were? Is this team as good as you thought they were? Or is this team maybe not as good as you thought they were going to be? And before we get to that, shout out to Norman. What's up, Norman, in the building with the $15 dono. Appreciate that, man. What's good, fellas? Great show. Thank you. Thank you. The General showing some love. General, check your text messages, man. I send the text on the group. You know what I'm talking about. Pimp Down. What's going on, man? I watched Tyler Barron pick up Famu's right tackle and literally throw him into the quarterback. He reminds me of a bigger, stronger Jalen Phillips, I'm assuming.
Same thing. Same guy.
Yeah, I love his play. We'll get into that. We'll definitely talk about that, Pimp Down. But your thoughts on this team so far after week two and the play of Cam Ward?
I mean, it's about what I expected. I picked us to go undefeated. I don't know what. And I think people just are afraid to believe that Cam would be it. Like, I'm sorry, you can say you understand what people are talking about. What should he rush a throw out to simulate that there's a pass rush that isn't there? Like, what exactly do you expect the quarterback to do? Not go through his progressions just in case there's a pass rush, even though it doesn't exist?
What I think they're talking about is go through your progressions and then just go. Just take off.
Why would you do that?
I'm asking you, are you
concerned? Yeah, but I guess my question is, I've not seen him passing up rushing opportunities. I've seen him keep plays alive and make throws. So that criticism to me is looking for a reason to be skeptical when there hasn't been any on the field. Now, granted, we only played two games, right? I'm sure there are weaknesses that will show themselves. They have not been there yet. And when you're looking for a reason to be skeptical, then you're going to find it.
Yeah.
So to me, I mean, we saw in the play that got called back on the fourth down conversion, you know, he could have scrambled. He kept the play alive and threw a touchdown.
Right.
That's what you want your quarterback to do. I think he has really good pocket presence. He knows when to pick his spots. It's not that he hasn't scrambled when he's had to against Florida. He kind of mockingly scrambled against them. So, I haven't seen any like hesitation to run or to take hits. But I mean, he should, if he's got time in the pocket, he needs to use it. That's what good quarterbacks do. So I don't have any issues with that. I don't have any issues with anything on this team. I think the fact that Reuben Bain basically hasn't played this year and we haven't noticed is something that I would not have expected before the season started. Had a lot of freshmen step up. Wesley Bissanth has taken a huge leap forward, which is, you know, we kind of were like, who's going to play next to Kiko and as him? And it's not even close. He's awesome out there. So we were able to play 22 freshmen in that game.
It's crazy.
Right. And so
and they made plays.
Bob. Yeah. And they're all over the place. I'm like, oh yeah, him. I forgot he was on the team and he's no, exactly. So I think this is far and away the best team in the ACC. I will disagree with you a little bit. I think the ranking is based on past performance and not anything this year. Otherwise, this would be a top five team. I mean, Oregon's almost lost at home twice to bad teams, and they're ranked ahead of the Canes. So I don't.
Yeah, that's a team that I have my questions about right
but,
now.
But I mean, we mentioned Missouri, right? I would have no doubt this Canes team would beat Missouri right now.
Wow.
And so, I mean, some of these teams in front of them. I mean, Alabama was in a dogfight with USF in the fourth quarter. We're going to play USF in 2 weeks. I think if we play the same exact game, they'll drop us five spots in the polls. I'm serious, even though it's on the road. So I mean, whatever. At least with the new playoff system, you just take care of your business and it works itself out. So the Canes are prepared to do that. But no, I haven't seen anything to be worried about or skeptical about. And I will say this, it ended up kind of blowing up in the Canes' face because you mentioned, you know, the end of the first half, FAMU kicked a field goal. That was good defensive clock management by Martin. He uses timeouts effectively, maintain plenty of time, and then bam, you convert it a third and long. But that's what you want. You want him to be aggressive with that. Because he could, because they kind of, the clock was kind of running. He could have let the clock run out. Instead, he uses timeouts and ended up in a field goal the wrong way. But again, when you're looking at, okay, what do we want to see from this team? I want him using those timeouts and basically betting on our defense to get the ball back, bet on the offense to score. And like I said, unfortunately, that was BMU converted a third and long, then fumbled it and caught a break because of the fumble, too, because the clock would have run out, but he threw it out of bounds. And pretty sure that should be a 10-second runoff, but I think those refs were generally confused. That one kickoff, I don't know why we started on the 1 yard line when it was should have been a half the distance penalty, not a spot of receiving the kickoff, because we caught it at the one, ran it back to like the 25, got called for holding, and we started at the one. So I don't know exactly what happened there, but the refs were trying to get into midseason form too. But no, I don't really see a negative so far. I think all the players are playing well. I think the big thing I'm seeing too is, you know, and actually Mario talked about this today when he's talking about how they're spreading the ball around to so many people. That everyone seems happy to just be a team player right now, which is kind of a pretty big shift from, you know, where we've been in the past, where if a player's not getting the targets he thinks he's through, he starts complaining immediately. There's a lot of talent on this team, so no one's going to get as many targets as they'd want. That's the reality of it. And they all seem okay with that. We're seeing, you know, Sam Brown is making plays when the ball's coming his way for the most part. But, you know, he's the one who seals the edge against Florida for that Fletcher touchdown run. He's still doing his work in there, even though he probably wishes he was getting more targets. That's weird. There's a good team chemistry here. Everything's rolling forward. No, as far as how Cam Morris plays, he's been outstanding. He's a favorite to get to New York for the Heisman Trophy ceremony right now. Yeah. So,
well, I'm glad that you mentioned Sam Brown, because I want to kick this over to you, Blue, on not only the play of Sam Brown, or, you know, through the second week, but also, again, this you're right, right? If we want to nitpick, we can find something. And so, if I'm nitpicking, I'm going to find this. There's been a couple of explosive plays, even against FAMU, and then obviously the one against the Gators with Montrell Johnson. Your assessment on Blue, your assessment on those blown plays, right? Those big plays that they've given up. You know, whether it's the big run by Thad, the pass, the catch by Quan Lee on that blown coverage. Do those things concern you at all when we get into the meat and potatoes of the schedule with ACC play, how some of those teams may take better advantage, more advantage of when we give up plays like that to finish drives? Because obviously there's times where, you know, FAMU might get that, but then the defense tightens up, they figure something out, they make a play against a team that's lesser like a FAMU. But when you're starting to play guys like, you know, like Louisville and all these other ACC teams, do you think that is a problem? Do you think that's just a few things here and there that they got to clean up? Again, we're only in week two, right? And then the second part of that is, I'm not concerned about Sam Brown not making huge plays. First of all, we're in week two, for the love of God, right? Like, let's calm down about that for a second. Number two, he has made huge plays. As Vish mentioned, that huge block to seal that touchdown run by Mark Fletcher last 2 weeks ago was impressive, right? A lot of wide receivers can't make those blocks. So I'm okay with the play of Sam Brown right now, but your assessment of Sam Brown so far and what I mentioned earlier regarding the big plays that have happened, do you see maybe bigger, better teams taking advantage of finishing those drives, or is the defense still good enough to continue to make plays?
Well, let's take Sam Brown first, and it all reflects on the wide receiver room with the great job that Kevin Beard's done. I mean, to play the position of wide receiver doesn't always mean you have to be the catch, the guy on receptions. Certainly, as you mentioned and Vish mentioned about Sam Brown blocking, so does Restrepo. So does every wide receiver, which in the past that hasn't always been the same. So you got to give KB, Kevin Beard, a lot of credit for what he's been able to do and making those receivers total receivers. So everybody's playing when they're not being their number's not being called. They don't just, you know, they don't jog out to their, you know, position. They run out just like, you know, and that's one of the things they've evaluated, that when your number's not called, you better be into the game just like it was. And take a look at the great teams, Alabama, Georgia, those type of programs like that. That's what they do. That's what they do. It's a team game. It's not an individual game. And they've turned this into a team game. No, I'm not worried, because every team, you know, this is, I mean, we're talking about a team that you would have been jumping over the moon to start off 2-0 the last couple of years like this and playing the way they are. So I'm not going to nitpick. Everything will work its way out. I think that sometimes you coach accordingly. And I think that Florida A&M wasn't going to, you know, be the opposition that Florida was, as far as size, as far as team speed. So Miami, you know, they made mistakes. Everything's going to happen. You're going to let up big plays. I mean, the best teams in the country will let up big plays. It just happens. And, you know, I mean, and there's nothing you're going to be do to consistently stop every play. You just can't, you know, I mean, then, you know, the teams would outscore the opposition 7-10-10. And that's just not how it is. It's just that, you know, this game, especially now, how evenly it is with on most fronts, with the portal and with the NIL deals. So things are evening out. So it doesn't surprise me where a kid like you mentioned, UCF commitment or a Miami commitment would come back and make a play, because there was a reason why a lot of these guys, you know, committed to Colorado or Wisconsin or some of those other positions, because they were pretty good. They just got there and there was other guys who were better and they left and opted for playing time. So, I'm not worried about that, because as the competition gets tougher, it'll probably get tougher in two weeks against South Florida, because obviously they got some players on the team and they're extremely well coached. But then after that, Virginia Tech, and then, as Viz said, you start getting into those, you know, programs that, you know, not that you shouldn't be able to show up this Saturday, but if you didn't, it's not going to cost you the game, because Ball State, I watched their tape from last week. They're horrible. Let's just face it. They're horrible. I mean, you know, I'm not going to, I'm not going to panic. Let's wait till it happens in a key game, you know, that's going to maybe almost cost them that game. And then we'll change, you know, we could change from there.
Yeah, I agree with
that's you. Just my opinion. I mean, I'm sure you guys have different.
No.
That's actually why I flashed up what Willie said here. It's only fair judgment what they've done. Just, you know, let them screw up first before.
And look, Kermit actually, shout out to Kermit, brings up a really great point, right? Something that we haven't really thought about. They played a ton of freshmen on Saturday, as we mentioned, but those rotations will shorten as the season goes on, as you go into ACC play. However, DJ, I want to get right into this with you, man. I want to give a shout out to some of those freshmen that did play. The first two games, Justin Scott has two sacks, one against Florida, one against FAMU. Darius Hayes had an interception. Bobby Pruitt had an interception this past weekend. I love Bobby Pruitt. I think he's going to be a big time player here. You know, we saw Cole McConathy get in and get some significant snaps. Armando Blount played a lot of snaps as well. You know, you had Dylan Days playing safety at the end of that game. So, yeah, the list goes on and on and on, right? And on offense as well. So, Jordan Lyle and the likes of all those guys, JoJo and whatnot. So, is there any of those freshmen that after the first 2 weeks that have impressed you a little bit, that you could say, hey, maybe down the road, even when the rotations shorten up, this is a guy that could still be crucial and an integral part of what they do on offense or defense, wherever, whichever way you go? Is there anybody that's kind of standing out to you so far?
I knew he was going to be good because we saw his high school highlight tape and he was phenomenal. But Justin Scott, I mean, you talk about how loaded the defense is already with, you know, Reuben Bain and the talent on the defensive line and the talent on the edges right now. The best programs are able to replace key depth when those players graduate and put, you know, not lesser experienced guys, but younger guys in to replace him without a big drop off. And Justin Scott, he's a baller. He's an absolute baller. He's everything that he was advertised, and I'm really excited to watch him, you know, develop and continue to grow. Because I always, you know, me personally, I've always valued edge guys really highly as a position, just due to their ability to collapse the pocket and, you know, create havoc. So I'm really excited about what Justin Scott's been able to do, and he's every bit as good as I thought he was going to be.
Vish, by the way, I agree with you 100%. He is exciting to watch, man. Down there already as a freshman. But Vish, Parrish brings up a good one, man. How good is OJ Frederick? Look, I said it, right? I thought that this kid was going to be our breakout freshman. A lot of people love him, but is he the best corner on this team already?
Ooh, that's tough. That's I think our secondary has been playing so well. It's hard
It's tough to say no, right? It's tough to say no because he started both games. He's played really well against, you know, an SEC team, and then of course dominating against, you know, one of the smaller teams, one of these weaker opponents. But you got to give him credit, right? He's been able to hold his own over there. He's been pretty impressive, hasn't he, Vish?
Yeah, no, he's been awesome. It's just hard to say he's the best corner when I think they've all played really well. There's not. I mean, we literally opened this conversation discussing this game about like the handful of plays that they, you know, maybe there was a miscommunication on or whatever, but mostly, I mean, the receivers haven't been getting open. They've been making plays on the ball, not making penalties. He's been stellar. And this is one of those positions we thought was a weakness coming into the year that could be exploited. And he's actually the one who's plugged that, because we kind of knew who we had, and we felt we were one short based on the returning players, and now not one short because of him. So yeah. that is probably the best testament you can say to the way he's played, because that was, again, it was like, all right, who's the third corner? How do we fit this together? There's going to be someone you can pick on, and there isn't, because OJ Frederick has been that good.
He really has, man. So, he's been really impressive. But I mean, another guy that I want to kind of throw out there, and, you know, we've got to do this because it's before we get to Ball State. I mean, we'll talk about Ball State very little, but I just want to kind of, you know, talk a little bit about some of these guys that are out there. If I had to pick a guy, as much as I like what OJ is doing back there, and yes, Saquon only had a couple of plays, but he looked really sharp in a couple of the snaps. I saw him break up a pass. I saw him do some really nice things. He's a monster. He's gonna be one of the greats here. I'm gonna say that right now. But before I even get to him, I think right now the best guy in that secondary is Jaden Harris, and Blue. I know you've seen them all play. But Jaden Harris, first of all, he looks already after week two, he looks like a much better – he is much better than what James Williams was at safety. And I know that's saying a lot because James Williams, you know, was a very good safety here. But this kid knows where he has to be at all times. He's a great tackler. He can go snatch a ball out of the air as well. You saw him get that pick while he was laying on the ground. But – I've been more impressed with Jaden Harris than anybody else in that defensive backfield. What's your take on how he has been playing so far after 2 weeks?
I agree. I watched him a lot of plays last week from the press box and was just watching him. He made play after play. He's always right there. He's got great anticipation. He reads extremely well. Different player. I think people were more – blown away with James Williams because of his size. And sometimes, you know, I don't think he was technically that great, you know, as a safety. Really, when you look at it, he wasn't what Cam was as far as technically and always around the ball and had the instincts. He was just a big kid who would, you know, be sometimes in a place where he'd knock you around. But you're right. I mean, when you, they're two different players, and this is a young man who, like I said, this is what you win big games with, players like that, players who are in the right position. And, you know, when they say, you know, everyone gives coaching a bad rap sometimes because of the fact that the kids aren't performing, but you get how many times has he been in practice and and Nicholson or anybody in the defense, you know, it turns around and said, listen, this is where you got to be. This is where you got to be. And then all of a sudden, and then they watch all, what do you think they watch all that film for? It's just because you have to be in positions. When you see offenses line up in a certain way, you've got to be able to read and react. And if you can, I think that's what his strong suit is. He could read and react to plays faster than a lot of people. And I agree with you. He's really been one of the catalysts back there. It's tough to tell sometimes that he hasn't been back there that much. And it's just, that's what you get. You get those type of guys, you know, when you get Hilton Drake Stubbs and you get guys like that who come in with, you know, that are the total package. And then over a couple month period, get together with their position coach and start working on, you already have the athletic ability and you already have that skill, but now let's see if you could learn a few things by being coached up. And that's the one thing, as I go back with Mario Cristobal in year one, when he took over, that was the one question that, you know, he asked me in his office. He goes, they have all these kids that come in here and, you know, they're highly recruited, but what happens? And I said, well, they're just not coached up. And I think he mentioned to me that won't happen here. And I think I've relayed that to you before. And that's what's happening. Your coaches are responsible for a lot of things that happen negatively and positively. And I think you got to look at the coaches that are on staff now. A lot easier for somebody like a Dawson to coordinate an offense when you got players. You know, I mean, yeah, anybody could coach, you know, Cam Moore. Yeah, they can. But, you know, putting them in the right position, making the play, you know, calling the right play, using your tight end, running the ball, you know, using your wide receivers, using Restrepo, who has another 100-plus yard game. So you got to credit people like that. And I think that he's a product of not only being a really good football player, but being able to be coached up over the last, what, 5-6 months. So, I agree.
I just got to give a shout out to
who?
Chevis Jackson for the job that he is doing with that defensive back. He's doing an incredible job, and kids are, they're, first of all, they're relating to him. They respond well to him. This is not to take away anything from Adai when he was here, right? But the kids are responding, you know, incredibly to Chevis Jackson, a little bit better than what they were with Adai. And that's just a testament to his, first of all, his understanding of this defense, right? Because obviously he's coached with Guidry before, and now he's back with him here, and he's got some monsters back there. He's been able to develop them and teach them correctly. And not only that, but, you know, someone mentioned earlier about Jaden Harris. He's playing with his head, not just his muscles. I think a lot of those guys are, because a lot of those guys are in the right in the right place to make plays. So I think that it's exciting to see that, and that's just going to, at the end of the day, it's going to translate to them continuously getting better as the season goes along. And that's what I think some skeptics, first of all, we need to stop thinking about the past. We need to stop thinking about nitpicking. Wait a second, this is too good to be true. No, this is a damn good football team. Let's give them the credit. Let's let them continue to win. Let's continue to back them. Let's give them that energy.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before.
And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And they're going to continue to develop for you as well. So, yeah, they're going to not develop. They're going to continue to produce. That's it. That's all what it's about. I think that we'll start to see a little bit something down the line as they continue to get better. Speaking of defensive backs, you like that segue? It's perfect. Speaking of defensive backs, Robbie Washington has made the switch from wide receiver to cornerback. And I think it's a good switch, and I know – we've spoken about it here maybe last year as they were recruiting, or a couple of years ago as they were recruiting the Washington brothers. Obviously, Bobby being a linebacker, Robbie being a four-star wide receiver, but he also played a lot of cornerback in high school, and he projected well as a cornerback also.
Ooh.
He's made the move. I think this is a great move for him. I think this is an opportunity for him to – develop into a really good football player. Look, that wide receiver room, those guys that they have there, the guys that they're bringing in next year, and the guys that they're developing now with JoJo and Nykar and, you know, some of these other cats and Ray Ray and whatnot, they're going to have some absolute dogs there. And if you – the best way to make an impact on a football team is to get on the field. And if he can make that transition over to cornerback and get on the field – then you're going to have another athletic guy that's going to go out there and make plays for his football program and potentially stand out and be a superstar at that position. Are you? I'll start with DJ with this because I kind of want to get your take, DJ, on the move. Are you excited about this move? Do you think this is a good thing for Robbie to do?
Yeah, because you know when I remember just watching Robbie's highlights and, you know, researching him last year when he committed, and you know, he's just a good overall athlete, and you know, he has a lot of skills, you know, as a wide receiver that translate well to the defensive back room. He can move quickly, he gets good burst as soon as the ball is snapped. He's very quick in his movements. He's very instinctual in terms of knowing where the football is and, you know, knowing, you know, when he was a receiver, which routes to run and things like that, which path is the best way to get the football. So I think those will translate well to the defensive back room. And, you know, I think like you said, this Miami wide receiver room is going to be loaded for the foreseeable future. And, you know, Washington's a great athlete. So I think the best way for him to see the field would be to make the switch. And I'm very curious to see how he does. I don't think that this is a situation that is going to be, you know, overly difficult for him. I think there's definitely going to be a transition, you know, kind of period as he adjusts to this position at the collegiate level. But I do think that it was a smart move, and I'm very excited to see what he'll do at the position for sure.
Not only that, man, he's a big kid, right? 6'2", big kid already. He's got the size to play on the outside against some of the bigger wide receivers. So I'm excited to see his development. As we go, we've got some questions that we'll answer in a second. Some recruiting stuff. I know Fresh Parrish, and some others have some questions there. Kermit, yeah, Robbie will shine at cornerback. And I agree, Willie, just happy that they aren't wasting his talent. This is why you get this type of coaching staff here, to be able to evaluate the talent and develop them. Blue, are you happy? Do you like this move by Robbie to go ahead and make that switch now, be able to develop, have still 2 or 3 years to come out and be a solid contributor on the defensive side of the football?
Yeah, well, like I said, and DJ too, it's getting him on the field faster. You know, there's a pretty decent pecking order on that receiving core, and with more on the way. So this was he's great. He's an athletic kid. He's quick. His ability to know what the other side's doing is sort of like having a pitcher and a catcher. At least he understands, you know, the mindset of a wide receiver. So, yeah, I agree. I think this is a good move. You know, it's going to get him on, like I said, it's going to get him on the field a lot quicker. And, yeah, so I'm extremely optimistic about the guy, what he's going to, you know, what he's going to do. So, yeah, I think it's a great move.
Fish, your take on Robbie's move to cornerback?
Yeah, I think there's just a much better opportunity for him to play there. As you said, the receiver position, I don't know if and when he was going to get on the field. Melissa actually noticed in warm-ups before the game that he was warming up with the DBs. I know Mario made it
a different number on, right?
Yeah. He was, yeah. Well, he went, yeah. Yeah, he
but
did.
But then he went back to 12. Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, he did, but yeah. Yeah,
it's
so
exciting to see.
Yeah, and there's definitely, I mean, we talked about OJ Frederick stepping up. There's definitely more playing time, on the defensive backfield at this point than there is at receiver. So it's a good move from that standpoint. Like you said, he can play. He was kind of, you know, we put him at receiver initially, but he had both options always coming out of high school. So it makes sense. Makes sense for him. Makes sense for the program.
Yeah. Speaking of that, I think that, look, at the end of the day, you know, it speaks a lot about his character. It speaks a lot about him as well. He just wants to get on the field. He wants to play football. He wants to play for the University of Miami. He could have been the guy to be like, nah, I want to play wide receiver. I don't care what anybody tells me. I'm going to be a wide receiver. I'm going to transfer out. Boom, I'm out of here. No, he knew that his opportunity to develop and to get on the field and to play was at that position. I mean, he has the experience. He has the knowledge. I think what's going to come with that also is that now he knows what might help him progress quicker. DJ, I know you mentioned that it might take him a while. It might, but I think what's going to help him progress quicker is the fact that he played that position already. So now, kind of like Travis Hunter, right? He just does it on another level. But like kind of like that, where you know, okay, his feet are lined up a certain way. His hips are pointed a certain way. He's looking at the quarterback a certain way, right? Like, all these little small nuances that wide receivers do, he can pick up on potentially and be like, okay, I have a feeling I know what this kid's going to do. He might give off certain signs that might allow him to be like, all right, now I know how to react to whether he's going to run a go route, whether he's going to stop and go, whether he's going to run a hitch, an out, whatever it is. He knows how the footwork is from a wide receiver perspective. I think it's going to translate that way. He's not one of these guys that's just like, you know, he's a walk-on wide receiver, and now we're going to try him at cornerback. No, he's an athletic 4-star athlete that came in as a wide receiver, but also had the potential to move to that other side of the field. And so now we're going to see him. I wish him luck. I think he's going to be great over there. So really excited about that. Real quick, Ball State. Blue, you mentioned Ball State is not very good. Probably not even on the FAMU level.
No.
Should the Canes, first, I'll get your take on Ball State, but should the Canes again hold off on playing Reuben Bain and Damari Brown again?
Definitely. Definitely, without question. And, you know, I watched them last week, and, you know, there's a couple of kids who I remember coming out of, you know, high school, like their quarterback, Caden Simonza, who's a redshirt freshman. He was a guy that, you know, came out, and a lot of, you know, bigger teams were, you know, coming on him, but at the end, they, you know, didn't have, but they're the strongest part of there. They have a couple of kids that came back from last year. You know, they have the two defensive tackles, the Keontae Newsome kid, who's not bad, and then the Brandon Berger. So that gives them an opportunity to at least have some punch back on the defensive line, but Miami's offensive line will just tear into them. I saw their game last week that wasn't impressed with their running game was horrible. And even in a, you know, I mean, they were using Braden Sloan last week, you know, kind of blew off a guy who I thought would be their starter at the beginning and the kid Vaughn Pemberton. But, you know, I just wasn't totally impressed. They have a few guys on the team, but team speed wise, that's where they're going to get overwhelmed up front. You know, I mean, they have a 5-year center who's coming back, but at the same time, you know, I mean, I'm trying to think of his name, but I'll think of his name in a second, but Ethan Crow. This is a team that probably I'll say is the weakest team that Miami will play all year.
Yeah, that's something to get say. Silence. When we play the Florida Gators, right, Vish?
Yeah, we got that freebie in there. You know, we still got a few more teams in the state of Florida to play that are also better than the Gators. You know, we played one last weekend, so we're working through the whole state here. I don't think Ball State is worse than FAMU. I don't think they're decidedly better, but I think they're slightly better just across the board.
Ball State?
Than FAMU? I mean, we're splitting. Okay,
that'd be a 38-17 game. FAMU would just beat the Christmas out of
yeah,
Daniel Richardson would throw for 500 yards.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say I have no idea anything. I have no, I don't know crap about Ball State.
Yeah. Show prep.
So, yeah. Show
prep. Yeah.
I mean, Blue just
named mix in some show center. Prep there, Jazz.
Yeah. Well, you just named the 5th-year center. How the hell am I supposed to compete with that? Yeah. <Come on. laughs> let's go ahead and.
If you think, you know, Bane's healthy, you put him out there. These warm-up games do matter. It's basically like he's missing his preseason now, and then you're going to put him out there against a big opponent, and you don't want him to be rusty there. I'd rather – if he's healthy, obviously, you don't rush someone back if they're injured for this opponent. But the quicker we can get him on the field and get him reps, the better. Because you don't want to, like, roll him out against Virginia Tech and have that be the first time he's played this year.
Yeah.
Right. So there's a balance there. Obviously, you don't need him to win this game, but if you can get him some snaps, maybe not start him, but just, you know, rotate him in a little bit.
Maybe put him on play a snap.
Yeah. So if he's healthy, again, I'm not the medical report, and frankly, if I had it, it's probably not true. It came out of this team. So Jalen Rivers all of a sudden didn't play on Saturday. Yeah,
Blue, do you know anything about Jalen Rivers? And his? I know Ryan Rodriguez was hurt. I guess both of those guys. Any word on those guys?
All Mario said he was banged up and they decided to hold him out.
Yeah, they never tell you anything, Vish. Yeah. You know that.
I mean, Paul did a fine job. He did fine.
And for a game like that, it's fine. For this week, it would also be fine if Jalen didn't play. But, you know, ideally, these guys are using these games to stay in shape and stay sharp. Although we did come out in the first game extremely sharp, so might be less of an issue, but you know, that's why you want to get on the field in this game, not because you need any of them. Relax. But we have no idea how hurt Ruben Bain is.
Yeah. They said it's a couple of weeks, so I'm assuming this will be the last week.
Yeah. Home. I mean, they've said a lot of things. I remember last year Mesidor was about to play and then was up in the air. He's looking so good. He's looking so good in practice. He's going to be there next week and then midweek. He's out for the year.
Let's hope that's not the case this time around.
No, I don't think it's that soon. But there would be no reason to hide it to that extent.
Yeah.
I think with Mesidor, they probably – remember, he had to have ended up now, and it's still the case, have a special shoe made to play in. So it's not – it was probably just significantly more complicated than they thought it was if you're having to do things like that. So I think it was probably more of a misread on the situation than anything else there. I don't think they're intentionally being deceptive. I think their timeline's probably loosely correct, but if we're talking about him playing this week,
yeah,
it depends on how hurt he is, and we honestly don't know. I'm sure he would want to play, but that's why you don't let the players decide.
Yeah. All right, DJ, what's your prediction? Just give me your score prediction.
Score prediction? Okay. 59-10 Miami. I expect Miami to roll.
All right, Blue, what's yours? What do you got?
63-12.
Okay.
I will say you at least both picked up by more points than FAMU, so you were true to your word. True to your word there.
Chase, what do you got? What's yours?
Let's see, such a tough. I'll go 45-6.
Wow, that's conservative. I thought you'd be like 99.
Now, he learned this lesson from last time, right? He's not going to be crazy like that again.
All I'm saying is I'm feeling better about my prediction this year than I do about either of yours. So,
well,
get the jokes in now.
Hey, I'm getting to feel that way too, Vic.
Get the jokes in now. It's been years of me being wrong, and you guys have been. But you know what? I'm like the Hurricanes. After 20 years, I got one right, baby.
Come on. I could play against Ball State for crying out loud.
They're not that bad. Oh, my God. You guys are exactly.
Well, how about this? I'm going to go, since I don't know jack about Ball State, I'm just going to go based off of what DJ and Blue are saying, you know? But I'll be in the middle. I'll go 52-10. 52-10. Will be the score there, and again, you know, we probably get to see Reese Poffenbarger again in the third quarter or so, third or fourth quarter. And look, that's actually really good for our freshmen to get a little more playing time as we go into ACC play. They're not going to get as much, and they'll probably get redshirted. So, but they will also be ready to go. So,
I do wonder, you know, if there was a situation where Cam Ward couldn't play in a competitive game.
I still think it's Emory.
Yeah, I kind of feel like it's Emory Williams at that point.
I think my take on the reason why Poffenbarger's playing so much now is because he's not going to be here next year. And so he's got to put something on tape that other schools are going to like. And I think that's the reason why they're giving him the opportunity to play now, is to kind of get some tape in, to look half decent when he's doing it, and, you know, him to find a nice little small school somewhere where he can go and play quarterback next year. That's my take on it.
Don't think we care if he puts stuff on tape or not. I think it's more protecting Emory's red shirt.
Well, I think it's both. I think it's both. I think both can be true. I think both can be true in this scenario. So I totally agree with you on that, Mitch. I think they're going to try to protect him as much as possible, red shirt him again. Okay, really quick before we go, question here, Blue. As we all know, Javion Hilson, decommitted from Florida State, a five-star defensive end from Coco this past week. It looks like the wheels are definitely falling off there when it comes to recruits. And they've got some good ones there too. So, you know, some other guys have already decided to decommit as well. Hilson, obviously a big-time prospect. Blue, is this a guy, number one? I'm pretty sure Miami's already on him. Is this a guy that could definitely flip over to Miami?
Or UCF, because that's been a pipeline for them. Okay. I mean, you gotta understand, this is not UCF. This is a Power 4 team now. So, and they just got Javon Boggs that went over there. So I think that they and plus Ryan Schneider, head coach, was from UCF. You know, a lot of these guys, but you know what? It could be anywhere. But he's a bona fide five star. He's a big time kid. He's the only one, like I wrote you guys in the thing, he's the only one that actually had a good game against IMG last week, you know, against some really, really good talent. And, I would definitely like to see him over there.
Nice. Okay. Here's a question. Another one from Fresh. We need DJ Pickett, Jamie French, and I'm assuming he's talking about Dallas Wilson.
Yeah.
When he says Wilson. Look, I think it's getting closer and closer to seeing DJ Pickett potentially don the orange and green. I know that there's always been a rumor that there's a possibility of him flipping, even though he committed to Florida. We saw what happened a couple weeks ago with Florida. He's obviously got family here now. Booker Pickett, he's also got Pickett is also related. So you're going to have a trio of family here potentially, as Cannon Pickett has been rumored to be committing to Miami soon, also 2026 offensive lineman. Big kid, big time prospect. Also, Jamie French. I don't know. I mean, I think Texas, right, is where he went. He committed to Texas. I think that's pretty solid. But Dallas Wilson, I think, is the most intriguing name out of all. DJ Pickett. Well, Blue, do you think DJ Pickett possibly is a strong possibility to flip to Miami now that you know, the way things are going this year so far?
Out of the guys you mentioned, he would be the one. I don't think Wilson or French.
Where's Wilson committing right now, too?
He's still open. I mean, he's got a lot of schools, but he's Ohio State's on him, and Alabama's big time on him. He's great. He's probably the best in the state.
Nice.
You know, for the 25. But I think Pickett, they got a really good shot at, for the reasons that you said. And, you know, remember I told you that here was Hilton was committed to USC, but yet he spent more time at Miami. And that's what's happening with Pickett. I just think that right now, especially because if you look at LSU, you know, Brian Kelly doesn't do it for a lot of these kids and their parents either. He's just not one of those coaches. He's not a dynamic coach, you know, like Mario Cristobal rings the bell, you know, he gets everybody excited. And, you know, I mean, that, and in his press coverage in our post game show that I stayed for, he was just so complimentary to all the kids, you know, that came out. He said, I saw a lot of recruits last week and this week, and, you know, it's great to see, because they're not just getting these marginal kids to come. They're getting major kids. And, yeah. You know, I mean, if you're back in the day, if you're committed to LSU or FSU or Florida, the last place you're going to be is here. Now, and they could use, oh, he's got relatives that play all he wants. But I just think that he sees how special things are, and I think that he wants to be a part of it. You know, like you said, he's staying in his home state, you know, instead of his family having to fly 2-3 hours to Baton Rouge. He could just drive the 4 or 4.5 hours to Miami. You know, I mean, and the great thing, look at the selling point this year. For the first month, Miami didn't even go out of the damn state, and they had two road games, you know. So that's, you know, and I'm sure that Miami will, you know, strike. I think that if everything goes true to form over the next couple of years, I think USF will be on the schedule every year. So, it'll, you know, add another, you know, team. I think they'll go to the ACC from all, and they should. I mean, it's a big market, big TV market. They got a lot of really good things on their, you know, campus, and they'd be a good addition. Nice campus. Huh?
That is a nice campus, USF.
Yeah, and especially with Golish, who, if you could see when he went to shake hands after the Alabama game, he wasn't a happy camper, because he thinks that this program should be not taken for granted, you know, and they played him for the first three quarters. But yeah, I think that, you know, when everything comes down to it, I think that Miami's going to get everybody that they need to get. Also, you know, I had a chance to watch Malachi Toney on Friday night. Beast. He'll be the – when he comes
did
in
they here. Did they beat Chaminade?
No, they lost to him 48-45. In fact, the crazy thing was Chaminade was basically out of quarterbacks. Their first string quarterback transferred, that's Zach Katz. The second one, Tyler Chance, who played in the Bosco game, got hurt, so they had to go with a third-string quarterback who really wasn't. I mean, this kid was in the state championships game the last 2 years as a starter at Alcala Trinity, and that before the game, everyone was, oh, man, what is he going to do? The offensive coordinator said, we're going to dummy down. Yeah. He outplayed Dia Bell. He was 23 of 41 for 478 yards and 4 touchdowns.
Wow.
So – yeah. So, I'll tell you, like, I was talking to, you know, Zuby Charles from Canesport, and we were talking about also, what's his name? The defensive line from Chaminade, defensive line.
Oh, Deontay Simpson?
Huh? Yeah. Deontay Simpson. Wow. Until you stand next to him, you don't realize how big he is. Wow. And he moves too. So, yeah, but both of those.
Chris Ewald, CJ.
Yeah. He played okay. I mean, you know, they, when you have guys like they have, I mean, Jesus, you know, you get a guy like Malachi Toney, and you got Brandon Bennett, who runs like a 4.27, and, you know, you got a lot of talent, the kid Denson. So it was a great game. I mean, one of the best games that I've been to. It was 48-45. They had to beat him with 2 seconds left on the clock on a field goal. So, yeah, place went, but, you know, especially, you know, like I put the other day on the Facebook, those two teams, probably the best 1 and 2 teams in the nation. Wow. I mean, come on, you know, I mean, but, yeah, that's it. So, Yeah, we'll see. We'll keep up on the recruiting, see what happens. But
what about you mentioned Ohio State earlier. Speaking of Ohio State, TJ Alford was here on a visit.
Yeah, this weekend. Yeah.
Well, that's another, that's another possibility for a flip.
No doubt. Yeah. No doubt. I think that Miami, he sees, you know, what Coach Nick's doing, and, you know, at the linebacking coach is and you look at Pop. We talked about Popo last week, Popo this week, Wesley Bissing coming up with a pick. It's a much better linebacker room than it has been. So I wouldn't be surprised.
Always great stuff there. And we will
end one last with show and tell thing.
Show and tell, baby.
1985.
Say it, Blue. Say it, Blue.
Here it is. Ready? Technology.
Technology. A little MB status, a little Melvin Bratton status.
Yeah, no, Alonzo Highsmith.
That's Alonzo Highsmith.
I'm sorry, Alonzo Highsmith.
Come on, get your cane stuff. Wait a minute.
Bratton was five, dude.
He was number
five. I got another bonus for you. This is the 1994 when they picked the Canes number one. You had Ryan Collins, Chris T. Jones on the cover of the Athletic. Nice.
Wow.
That's
awesome. Those are some names.
Pretty nice. I've been, I don't know if you guys belong to Facebook, but if you do, there's this thing called College Football Classic.
Yeah, I'm on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually tagged you on that.
Yeah.
But I post a billion things in there. And I just post a picture of Zach Thomas when he played at Texas Tech. And this guy writes, he goes, he's such an overrated player, shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. So somebody ran a graphic right next to it of him and Urlacher's numbers. And Urlacher, who's obviously in Hollywood, it's a joke. Zach had such better numbers than him. He's just a freak. He's a freak. But not a big Dolphin fan, but, hey, you know, that was a big win, you know, to get what's his name back out of the handcuffs and onto the field.
Yeah, they've. I don't know if you guys have seen. They've released the.
Yeah. It's
nasty.
But yeah, it is. But he, you know, he.
Hanged up a man of the year, Calais Campbell.
I know Calais Campbell just showed up and they just arrested him too. It was good stuff. Really solid work, MD.
I hate to say it, but it's just a shame that, you know, a couple of those bad apples that are on these power trips and, you know.
Yeah. But the Fraternal Order of Police came to their defense, saying that he didn't,
he didn't want to lower his window and all that
stuff.
Yeah,
he didn't want to do any of that
stuff. I mean, that's the police union's job, honestly. Like, if they don't defend their guy, then.
Of course.
Yeah, but, no doubt. All right, well, that's whatever. It.
Anyways, make sure you see all the rest of the shows this week. We've got
F1 tomorrow. Yeah,
we've got Buckets Wednesday or Thursday. I'm sure.
I don't think we have Buckets this week. I'm not sure.
Okay, all right. And then we'll have some post game stuff on Monday on the next.
Next week on this, and then maybe for, I don't know. I'm not going to be at USF for once of. Maybe we'll do some pre and post game too.
Yeah, I might still be going.
Yeah, so. I know you might, but I know DJ. You were thinking about maybe, right? But we'll talk.
Yeah,
I know we don't do show prep, but some of the stuff we can do offline. This is the show prep, people.
Make sure you follow us on X at Six Rings Canes. Also, of course, subscribe to the Five Reasons Canes Network podcast. On Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever it is that you get your podcasts. Thank you, everybody, for showing up to the on the chat. We appreciate it, everybody, for chiming in, talking to us a little bit about Canes football. Make sure you check us out. Where the hell did Blue go? He left.
He left. He'd had enough of you.
Yeah. make sure you follow us. Keep it locked, and we'll bring you more.
When he came back.
Lightning flash. Hey, was it? Our lights went on and off. Yeah.
It's just so
it is nasty outside.
Yeah, it's not the really. Yeah, it's not great weather here. But I'm back for the end.
Well, we'll see you guys next week. Adios. Yes, okay. Right.
The Six Rig King Show. Yeah. The Six Rig King Show. Yeah. The Six Rings King Show. You know.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.